You know, when we look at some of the teams in the state at the beginning of the year, obviously nobody ever knew Florida State would be like this. I mean, you know, I mean, obviously you're not going to go 13-0 every year or 13-1, but certainly they were one of the teams. Everybody looked at Miami and said, hey, listen, they could be pretty good. They could win 9-10 games. But when they looked at the Florida Gators, they said, oh my gosh, look at this schedule. They play LSU and they play Texas and they play all these programs. They may not win 3-4 games. Well, coming into Saturday's game at home against Ole Miss, the Gators are 5-5 with a really good opportunity to be bowl eligible over the next two games, either against Ole Miss or against Florida State. Kevin Brockway covers the Gators for the Gainesville Sun. He's kind enough to join us this evening. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us. And you and I had talked a lot in the offseason, in the preseason, and we figured, you know, if they play well, they're going to be in some games. But this has got to be a bit of a surprise because they've got a really good chance to end up 7-5 in the regular season.
Yeah, possible. I would say 6-6 is more likely. You know, they're 10-point underdogs against Ole Miss, and obviously, you know, Lane Kiffin, you know, they have a lot to play for the college football playoff. But, you know, maybe they come out a little tight on the road. You never know, right? Because, you know, there's a lot at stake. And maybe Florida, you know, and certainly Florida's coming in with some confidence off the LSU win. But really, you know, the more realistic scenario for them to get bowl eligible is to beat FSU. That's obviously had their struggles. And even though the game is up in Tallahassee, I think as long as DJ Lagway stays healthy through this game, they should be fine for the FSU game to get that sixth win.
You know, when you take a look at this week, and yeah, obviously Ole Miss, they're ranked ninth and they're this and that, but so is Tennessee at Tennessee, and so was LSU last week, and Florida stood up to the test, and even against Georgia until Lagway got hurt. I mean, that's got to give Gator fans a lot of enthusiasm heading into this week, because as you said, I know that the kids don't like that noon game, especially in Gainesville, but it is what it is. But they've got to come in, even though they're 10-point underdogs, feeling, hey, listen, we went to Knoxville and we played LSU, a team that a lot of people thought that could win the SEC at the beginning of the year, and stayed close in Jacksonville, and then won last week. Talk about that, because I think the whole, as you said, the mindset of the team has got to be a whole lot different than it was 5-6 weeks ago.
Well, Larry, I'm going to tell you that DJ Lagway has lived up to his billing as Gatorade High School of the Year. You know, he's 3-1 as a starter and 3-0 when he starts and finishes, you know, because don't forget the Georgia game, he was carted out with a hamstring injury. But, you know, he's beaten Kentucky and LSU as a starter. And I think the team feeds off him. I honestly do. And you know, you saw, you know, obviously he wasn't perfect in the LSU game. He was 13-26, but, you know, he's coming off, obviously, the hamstring injury. He's not running because of that. He's just staying in the pocket, but still makes that big throw downfield to Elijah Badger in the fourth quarter in a big moment with the score tied at 13, sets up the go-ahead touchdown. And another freshman running back, too, Jaden Boss. So you're seeing this young core developing, and I honestly think that that's a huge reason why, you know, Billy Napier is getting a vote of confidence for the fourth season, because he's tied to DJ Lagway. DJ Lagway comes back as a sophomore quarterback, and you can really build around this team. And we've seen throughout the state, obviously, what Cam Ward is doing at Miami, what Jordan Travis did at FSU, the impact of a quarterback and how it can raise an entire team. And I think DJ Lagway has certainly done that at Florida in this back stretch of the season.
Yeah, no doubt. The 4th of December is National Signing Day. They moved it up, obviously, 16 days. And right now, as we speak, they still have Vernell Brown, the second or the third, who is arguably one of the best slot players coming out of high school. Still have Ben Hanks, who obviously is a legacy. His dad played there. Steve Spurrier was kind enough to unretire his jersey to give it to Ben. Still have Jalen Wiggins, the kid out of Rickards, who's a big-time edge rusher. And they still have Waltez Clark, a running back out of Tampa Plant. Four really defining type of players for the class of 2025. Obviously, they look to hold on to them all. Did they add anybody that you've heard of maybe coming up? Did they flip somebody around?
Yeah, you know, they actually had a pretty good week because, you know, there were 51 last week. Now they're up to 28. You know, Daniel Pierre-Louis, the offensive lineman from Loxahatchee, Seminole Ridge High School. They got him to flip this week. And Tramell Jones Jr., dual threat quarterback from Jacksonville, Mandarin. They got him to flip also from FSU. So they're taking advantage, obviously, of FSU struggles. Stephon Shivers, defensive lineman, defensive tackle, they got to flip from Georgia. And then a kicker, they got to flip from Arkansas, Evan Knoll. So it was a good week after the LSU win. And obviously a lot of visitors, too, 4- and 5-star wide receivers as well, that, you know, may be intrigued by catching passes from DJ Lagway that they may try to get to flip here in the coming weeks. But, you know, right now the class is 28, and you would like to see it trending closer to the top 10 by the end of December, but you never know. There are 15 commitments now.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. Yeah, they're 27, 28 as far as recruiting is concerned, but they only have 15 commitments. And you see, as like an Alabama, Ohio State, even Miami, as they add top-notch kids, that number goes down. And then obviously, if they finish within the top 15 in this class, I think they've made some major strides, especially because of the fact that they lost a kid like Joshua Moore, who was a, you know, big time wide receiver. They've lost a couple of kids, but I think the Tramell Jones Jr. Because now he didn't play this year because he got injured, but here's a guy that we watched in the state championship game last year against Columbus, did a tremendous job. Obviously he's a guy that, you know, insurance over the next couple of years. Florida obviously has Lagway, but at the same time, you want to get, you know, just in case, you want to get somebody who's going to be pretty darn good, you know, ready. And I think he's that guy. And there's two other players that I thought that a lot of people don't really pay attention to, and they're lower stars, which I'm not a big fan of. One is Miles Johnson, linebacker out of Brewton, Alabama, who I like a lot. I mean, I've watched him. He's 6'1", 220, 225. And the other one's Nayshawn Montgomery. He's a wide receiver out of Miami Central. He went to Cardinal Newman last year in West Palm Beach. This kid's a stud. I thought he was one of the best players in South Florida this year. You take those guys along with some of the other players that you mentioned, and Shivers, as you mentioned, and also Tayshawn Gelsley, who I think is a really good player. Florida's got a pretty decent class. I don't care about the stars. I've watched these players play, Kevin, and I think that they have an opportunity to be really special. And I know that so does Billy and the team. Let everybody know how you can follow you. It's going to be interesting 2 weeks. This week's going to be really interesting. You win this week, you're bowl eligible. If not, you look to that FSU game, which is always competitive.
Yeah. Hey, Larry, I was going to tell you, too, Jaden Baugh is a 3-star, and he's leading Florida in rushing right now, and they got him at the last minute at signing day. So you never know, right, you know, with the evaluation. So, yeah, you can find me at Gatorsports.com, Gainesville.com, and Twitter at Kevin Brockway, G1.
Oh, good stuff. Kevin, I can't thank you enough. We don't talk to you. Have a great holiday. We'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks, see where we're at. Hopefully we'll be talking bowl game.
Yep, back at you, Larry. Hope all's well.
You too. Kevin Brockway from the Gainesville Sun. Always great to catch up with him. Does a tremendous job. He lives and breathes the Gators up in Gainesville, and certainly football. And it's, you know, like I said, people were selling them out. I mean, I just watched and I said, you know, because being up there every summer and having an opportunity to talk to the coaches and seeing a lot of the players, you know, you think, hey, you know, this is a better team than people think. It's just that they're in a really crazy conference, the SEC, and having to go to Texas kind of was not easy as well. But if they turn things around, they're going to be right on the same path as, you know, as we thought that they would be, especially with some of their top recruits. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts. Now, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and even youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we talk a little bit of high school football. The Miami Southridge Spartans will be home for week 2 in the 6A playoffs. One of the catalysts on that team is linebacker Joshua McDowell. He'll join us next.